WSJM News Now. Team coverage from the WSJM Newsroom on News Talk Sports 94.9 WSJM.
Brought to you by the Town Crier Wire. Download the free local news app today. The U.S. Supreme Court heard arguments today in a case that could determine whether women have access to abortion medication. The arguments are focused on whether the FDA overstepped its authority when it made it easier to obtain mifepristone, an abortion medication. Speaking this morning, Governor Gretchen Whitmer said limiting access to the drug would impact access to abortion care for women around the country, including in Michigan. Whitmer also says she's preparing to sign legislation for IVF soon.
The Michigan legislature is sending me legislation. It's the Michigan Family Protection Act. This will continue to support families to make sure that IVF is accessible, but also that we could families in Michigan who are looking to start a family but can't can look at surrogacy as an option.
Whitmer says her administration is supporting families, but also recognizing that government should not be in the middle of a woman and her doctor and her family's decision about when and where to bear a child. The groups plan to protest today against the sale of mifepristone outside of some CVS and Walgreens stores. There will be more police patrolling Silver Beach this summer. Speaking to St. Joe City Commissioners this week, Berrien County Sheriff Chuck Heights said with a new school resource officer now available, the Sheriff's Department will have two deputies that can station at the beach. That's not all.
We will obviously increase that staffing for 4th of July. As Director Newbecker stated, we have a great work relationship with the St. Joe Department of Public Safety and the Michigan State Police. And obviously for an event like that, we've got special plans that are in place to have additional staffing there.
Michigan State Police Lieutenant Jeremy Carlisle said the MSP will also be there for the 4th of July.
So for this summer, we have what's called a tactical bike team. I have several troopers at my post who are specially trained to ride bicycles. And everybody would think, well, that's pretty simple, right? Well, there's a lot of techniques that we learn and a lot of processes we go through to get certified for that. So I have several members, and as part of the fireworks display, we are going to provide some bicycle patrol for that.
Carlisle said state police have also told troopers to go by the park when possible as they're out on patrol. Height noted last summer the Sheriff's Department issued 150 citations for alcohol violations, 3 citations for marijuana use, and 7 citations for disorderly conduct at the beach. Meanwhile, St. Joe City Commissioners are moving forward with a search for a new city manager. Current city manager John Hodgson has said he'll retire later this year, likely in September. At a meeting this week, Commissioner Michelle Binkley said a committee consisting of herself, Commissioner Michael Cirola, and 2 members of the public has been formed to start looking for Hodgson's replacement.
In the next couple days, the position will be posted on the appropriate places like MML, and then we'll be receiving the applicants and we'll be going over those. I think we were thinking maybe 5 or 6 weeks for that, and then we'll take a look at it.
The citizen representatives on the committee are an HR professional from Whirlpool and a member of the Downtown Development Authority. Commissioner Michael Cirola said the committee's taking care not to look too early without waiting too long, noting in government officials tend to give more notice that they're leaving a position than the typical 2 weeks in the private sector. The Lakeshore Public Schools Board of Education is now whole again after appointing Jessica Bigley to a vacant seat this week. Bigley is the director of preschool at First Church of God. She told the board during interviews last night, collaboration and cooperation are key for school board members.
I believe it starts with showing respect to those around you. It is important to listen attentively to viewpoints of other board members, respect opinions, and have the willingness to seek first to understand with the ability to listen to different perspectives and be open to new ideas.
Bigley said she learned a lot about education during the COVID pandemic, preparing her for all sorts of challenges in the future. Also interviewed this week were nurse James Organ, IT professional Ken Jennings, and teacher Holly Goodline. Lakeshore trustees said they couldn't have gone wrong with picking any one of the applicants. Bigley was chosen to serve the remainder of Kevin Bushu's term after he stepped down due to moving outside of the district. The Michigan Department of Health and Human Services is reporting 2 bats have tested positive for rabies in the state this year, and one of them was in Berrien County. Berrien County Health Department tells us when animals test positive, it's usually after contact with a human. MDHHS public veterinarian Mary Grace Stobierski says it's not uncommon for bats to be found with rabies.
In Michigan for the last at least 3 decades, by far the most commonly determined rabid animal is the bat.
Skunks are the 2nd most common. Stobierski says if you have contact with a bat or are bitten by any animal, it's important to catch or keep the animal so the local health department can test it. However, prevention is always best.
Our usual best advice is to avoid contact with wild animals. And that would be thinking along the lines of don't feed them, don't approach them, don't touch wild animals or stray animals.
In cases where a person has been bitten by an animal and it's not possible to test the animal for rabies, Stobierski says a healthcare provider will determine if that person should receive vaccination against rabies as a precaution. It's a series of multiple shots that can be expensive, although most insurance policies cover it. The last time Berrien County had a bat test positive was in 2022, and contacts between bats and humans are most likely in the summer and in the fall. And the Berrien County Health Department is offering a lead testing for children next week. Berrien County Health Officer Guy Miller tells us they're focusing on kids ages 6 and under. Although the city water system in Benton Harbor has been deemed safe from lead after recent work, there are other reasons to test children.
There's been an increased focus of lead in our area because we've had an action level exceedance, but we know one of the greatest predictors for lead, especially in your children, is actually through paint. So we want to continue to expand and offer any lead testing for children under the age of 6.
Miller says exposure to lead can impair a child's brain development. Those who live in homes built before 1978 could have lead-based paint, although lead solder was allowed in some homes up to 2014. Anyone can stop at the Health Department's Benton Harbor office from 9 a.m. to 3 p.m. next Monday through Thursday or between 9 and 1 next Friday to have their kids tested. It's a simple finger prick. The results can be obtained the same day. Miller says when a child does test high for lead, actions can be taken to reduce their lead levels, often involving nutrition. WSJM News now continues with your Bloomberg Report. WSJM News now continues. More details are coming to light following that container ship collision with the Francis Scott Key Bridge that suspends over a waterway in Baltimore. More from ABC's Michelle Franzen.
This is a special report from ABC News, Baltimore Bridge Collapse. I'm Michelle Franzen. The search continues for six people still unaccounted for after that cargo ship slammed into a section of the Francis Scott Key Bridge in Baltimore, causing it to collapse. President Biden offering condolences and says federal aid and resources are on the fast track to help Baltimore recover.
Search and rescue operation is our top priority. Ship traffic in the Port of Baltimore has been suspended until further notice.
ABC's Sam Sweeney says the investigation is now centering on what caused the ship to lose power and control.
The crew who takes this on this 27-day journey was not actually in control of the ship at the time. When you are in a harbor like this in a confined water space, they bring on what are known as local pilots. They are experts in this area. They know where the ship needs to go. They know where it needs to go underneath the bridges and how to get safely out into the open water.
Authorities say there are no signs of terrorism. This is ABC News.
A World Shipping Association says there were at least 35 major bridge collapses worldwide from 1960 to 2015 due to ship or barge collision, with a total of more than 340 killed. Its 2018 report says 18 of the collapses happened in the United States. Among the more notable collapses in the U.S. was that of the Sunshine Skyway Bridge spanning Florida's Tampa Bay. A sudden blinding squall knocked out a freighter's radar in 1980. The ship sheared off a bridge support. A long section of concrete road fell to the water during the morning rush hour, and 35 people died. The Supreme Court heard oral arguments today over the FDA's moves to enhance access to the abortion pill mifepristone. More from ABC's Stephen Portnoy.
The justices spent a great deal of time focused on whether abortion opponents have standing to bring this case. Even some of the Republican-appointed justices seemed, through their questions, to be skeptical. The most aggressive stance against expanded access to the abortion pill was taken by conservative Justice Samuel Alito, who asked why the FDA didn't heed a federal ban on the mailing of abortion drugs that's been on the books since 1873.
A New York judge has issued a gag order barring Donald Trump from making public statements about witnesses, prosecutors, court staff, and jurors in his upcoming hush money criminal trial. Judge Juan Merchan said today that he cited Trump's previous comments about him and others involved in the case, as well as a looming April 15th trial date, granting the prosecution's request for a gag order. Prosecutors had asked for the gag order, citing what they called Trump's long history of making public and inflammatory remarks about people involved in his legal cases. Famine in Gaza is imminent, according to UN officials, and they're urging Israeli forces to allow in more aid trucks. ABC's Britt Clenett in Israel has more on recent reports of clashes in Gaza as Israel continues its war with Hamas.
In Gaza, witnesses say Israeli warplanes bombed the southern city of Rafah, where around 1.3 million people have taken refuge. Many of them fled northern parts, fearing bombardment there by the IDF. Now, Palestinian media reports that at least 18 people were killed in an airstrike on a residential building. And elsewhere, fierce gun battles continue to rage around hospitals nearby Khan Yunus and Gaza City.
Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu has vowed to press ahead with Israel's offensive. He blasted a UN Security Council resolution calling for a pause to the fighting, saying today it had emboldened Hamas to reject a separate ceasefire proposal. As the war in Gaza grinds through a sixth month, each side has publicly insisted its own idea of victory is in reach and rejected international efforts to stem the bloodshed. Israel says it can achieve its aims of dismantling Hamas and returning scores of hostages if it expands its ground offensive to the crowded city of Rafah. Hamas has said it will hold on to the hostages until Israel agrees to end the war. American consumers could see billions of dollars in savings under the terms of a settlement involving transaction fees. More from ABC's Brian Clark.
Visa and MasterCard have already agreed to pay more than $6 billion to settle an antitrust lawsuit, and now another element of the settlement's been announced. The companies will cap swipe fees until 2030. Those are the fees merchants pay credit card companies when they accept a credit or debit transaction. Visa says more than 90% of the merchants affected here are small businesses. MasterCard is not acknowledging any improper conduct. Brian Clark, ABC News.
Russian officials persist in saying Ukraine and the West had a role in last week's deadly Moscow concert hall attack, despite denials of involvement by Kyiv and a claim of responsibility by an affiliate of ISIS. Without any evidence, Alexander Bortnikov, the head of the Federal Security Service, follows similar allegations by President Vladimir Putin, who linked the attack to Ukraine, even as he acknowledged the suspects who were arrested were radical Islamists. The IS affiliate claimed it carried out the attack, and U.S. intelligence said it had information confirming the group was responsible. French President Emmanuel Macron said France also has intelligence pointing to an IS entity as responsible for the attack. And we're approaching the two big egg holidays of Easter and Passover. ABC's Sherry Preston reports buying eggs could set you back a bit again this year.
According to the Dutch research firm Rabobank, the average price for a dozen eggs in the U.S. is around $2.99. Now, that's less than the $4.21 you were paying last year, but it's still elevated. And most experts think egg prices will stay high for quite some time. One reason, avian flu cases in Europe, Africa, Asia, and recently here in North America. More than 130 million birds either died from it or had to be culled because of it in 2022 alone.